Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Michelle Knezovic, Chase McCabe in Vegas, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. I'm taking a look up at our TV we have in studio of Good Morning Football, and it looks like there has been some developments regarding the man named Ken Francis, who has been contacting NFL teams on Lamar Jackson's front. So Tom Pelissero put on Twitter yesterday night, the NFL told teams today that they are prohibited from negotiating with a Florida man named Ken Francis, whom Lamar Jackson says never tried to negotiate for him, but is his business partner on a forthcoming home fitness invention with a commercial starring Lamar. This is a very, very strange
situation. It's a really weird story. I've never heard of anything like this before.
And, you know, through all the college basketball news last night, I missed a lot of this, a lot of these reports regarding this man who is contacting NFL teams on Lamar Jackson's behalf. And, you know, Lamar can deny that he was negotiating for him, but I feel like I can sum this up pretty easily in that this is why you hire an agent. And a deal would have been done, I can feel pretty confidently about, if Lamar had an agent right now. And, you know, having somebody call on your behalf, this is just getting very sticky, very unprofessional. Not the way you go about things, and this is why you have an agent who represents you, so you things like this don't happen, Junie.
No, it doesn't. And what's weird is from what I've gathered, and honestly, there's varying reports about this, is that, like you had mentioned, they're working on some like at-home fitness invention, and Lamar is apparently the star
of the commercial
for it. And so I guess they have some sort of relationship, which makes it seem as if you know each other, like, why would you be calling about his contract? I don't know.
It's a very strange situation. And the NFL came out with the memo. Tom Pelissero put it out there. The NFL Management Council warning teams not to negotiate with a man named Ken Francis about Lamar Jackson, quote, violation of this rule may result in the disapproval of any offer sheet resulting player contract has entered to by Mr. Jackson and the new club. So he is not a certified agent. So that is why he can't negotiate. So I'm sure this will be talked about in the annual meetings next week in Arizona. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. But just a strange situation all around. And basically all I can say about it is this is why you have an agent. And looks like things are starting to unravel a little bit with Lamar Jackson on just this whole contract situation. So it'll be interesting to see how it begins to unfold. But I teased before we headed into this station or into this segment, Junie, that Mike Vrabel was spotted, not at the pro day yet, but he was spotted at a local bar and grill in Lexington, Kentucky. Matt Jones put it out there. Mike Vrabel was at the KSR Bar and Grill yesterday. Kentucky's pro day is this morning, actually kicked off at 10 a.m., so going on right about now in Lexington. Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly pictured in this. So heading to, I can imagine, probably all the clubs are there because of Will Levis. Anytime you have a quarterback who's might go in the top 10, we don't know. He's looked like he slipped in a couple mock drafts, but they're in Lexington today. Check them out, Junie.
Yeah, no, and that's what I kind of mentioned to you when you said that. I was like, with all this Anthony Richardson hype, and you know me, I'm checking mock drafts on a daily basis.
On a daily. And part of your morning routine.
It really is, and especially now that we're less than 5 weeks away, you know, my anxiety about this is just reaching to all new heights. But regardless of that and my mental health, Mel Kiper came out with his mock draft, and he still has Will Levis going in the top 10. And also, let's see, Chris Trappisso from CBS also has him going in the top 10. But interestingly enough, I am a big Daniel Jeremiah guy when it comes to draft analysis. I really like what he has to say. He has Will Levis going 19th to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So in certain mock drafts, there's kind of been this swinging motion that Will Levis might be the quarterback that slips a little bit. You know, people see the upside of Anthony Richardson, I guess, as a little bit more appetizing. And then obviously Stroud and Young are going to be your top two picks, more likely than not, unless somebody wants to take a huge, huge risk. But Will Levis could potentially be there for the Tennessee Titans at 11. And if he's not there at 11, he could be at a striking distance to, you know, make a quick trade up for not having to go in the top five to go get him, which would be huge for the Titans. So,
And you're really high on Will Levis.
Yes, I am.
As far as, you know, the three that are – four that are in the conversation and going in the top 10. And, you know, just because Mike Vrabel's there, all of the clubs are going to be down there. He was in – Columbus the other day to watch C.J. Stroud at his pro day. I can imagine they'll go to Alabama's for Bryce Young.
Well, Bryce Young's was yesterday.
So
I'm not sure if they were there for that one or not. But, I mean, honestly, I would say that he is going to be at, you know, Ohio State more or less, looking at, you know, wide receivers. But, you know, also doing their due diligence on, you know, looking at these guys and getting a head start at, you know, Stroud and Young, because, I mean, where are those guys likely to end up in your division? So it'd probably be wise if you're Mike Vrabel and the Titans to kind of go and talk to these guys and see what kind of players they are and, you know, just get a jump start on that process. But I just find it really interesting that they would be in Kentucky, because, you know, being at Kentucky last year, like, oh yeah, they got a bunch of prospects. They got, you know, receivers, they got linemen.
Robinson.
They got guys coming out. But this year, I'm looking at this Kentucky team, and you've talked about it, there's not that many pro prospects outside of Will Levis. So it makes me really sit here and think, like, they're going to go there and they're going to see, you know, what Will Levis is made of. I feel like the Tennessee Titans are in Lexington right now to see, could Will Levis be potentially our guy that we could go out and get in this year's draft?
Well, and I think, too, when you look at the class right now, we highlighted C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. They'll be one and two, whatever order they go in. But if the Tennessee Titans do decide to draft a quarterback and they don't move up and they stay at 11, I'm looking at Will Levis and thinking he could actually be available there, so they wouldn't have to, you know, give up other picks to move up to maybe three, where Arizona is sitting at right now. I know that it also was reported that Will Levis was going out to dinner with Frank Reich and the whole Panthers staff, too.
They seem to be wining and dining every single first-round QB prospect, because they did the same thing with Stroud, and they did the same thing with Young, and they're just getting in these guys' ears, basically making them feel like they're going to draft all of them. But, I mean, they can only pick one of them. So
Tennessee Titans fans, how would you feel? How would you feel if they used their 11th overall pick and drafted Will Levis? You know, I look at some of the moves that Rand Carthon has made. Nothing super flashy, but filling position groups with serviceable guys, fixing the offensive line. They're staying on Tannehill. What if they did use the 11th overall pick and drafted a guy like Will Levis, and they used the same model that Kansas City did with Patrick Mahomes? They let him sit for a year, but get adjusted to the NFL, start to fill some more holes on this roster. How would you feel if the Tennessee Titans drafted Will Levis at number 11th overall? Let us know on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Well, the fans have spoken, Junie. We've hit on something. I'm asking the question to everyone right now. How would you feel if the Tennessee Titans drafted Will Levis out of the University of Kentucky? Welcome back into Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle, and for Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser also with us today. The text line is blowing up after I asked that question. Junie, I'm going to run through a couple, but before we get to the text line, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because you get really into, you know, looking at the different types of guys and what their potential could be and how they could transition in, or how their skills could translate into the NFL. And you have been high on Will Levis. And yeah. I want to preface this because I went to Kentucky. This is not me talking. This is a Louisville fan talking.
Yes.
Who is very high on Will Levis. So no bias there. I got to preface that. You know,
if anything, my bias should be against him because, you know, Will Levis has dominated Louisville in the two games that he played against us. A lot of L's down, even though his last name is Levis. They called it Levisville when they absolutely smacked Louisville in Louisville. So I am not a fan of him personally, but I do think as a pro prospect and what he could bring if he's, you know, put into the right situation, I believe his upside is really good. He has a stronger arm than a guy like Hendon Hooker. I think he had to overcome a lot more adversity. Hendon Hooker had better receivers. He had a better offensive line. While he was in school, I feel like, you know, Stoops is more of a run the ball, defensive-minded coach, whereas Heupel is in, you know, an air raid offense and is going to
showcase that skill set more.
Yes. I mean, well, you got to understand, you know, what kind of offense you're in has to do with the stats and production that you have. You know, Tennessee's wide receiver talent, you know, they're going to have two wide receivers going in the NFL draft this year. They might have two more going, you know, next year, you know, Squirrel White, Brew McCoy. I mean, those are really elite level receivers as well. And really at Kentucky, you know, Wandale Robinson last year, when, you know, all this Will Levis hype started, has really only been the NFL caliber receiver that he's had. And on top of that, the offensive line for Kentucky this past year was awful, 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 awful. And it just,
and a new offensive coordinator.
And yeah, so missing your quarterback or missing your number one wide receiver that you had, so you don't really have a lot of talent there. You had two offensive linemen that were turned over from the year prior, and the replacements weren't nearly as good. You lose your offensive coordinator, and just Kentucky as an entire team just wasn't nearly as good. And when they were, it was one of the best Kentucky football seasons that they've ever had. And he was excellent. You know, 2,800 yards, 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, yes, but, you know, completing 66% of his passes. And on top of that, he is a massive running threat. Hendon Hooker is one of those that he's quick enough to get you a first down. Will Levis is one of those that he's going to lower his shoulder and get some extra yards. And I think that is also a key difference as well.
So Ben Texan on the text line has said, if there's a chance of him to be a franchise quarterback for the next decade, why wouldn't they? And the reason we're bringing up this conversation, Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio posted a picture. Mike Vrabel is in town. The Kentucky Pro Day is today going on pretty much right now. Another texter texts in and says, if the Titans draft Levis, they will have fallen into the same trap as last year. Pre-draft hype influenced the decision on Willis, and we saw what happened. Levis is just as much of an unknown that wouldn't fix the upcoming QB need. Rock with Tannehill and wait for a better QB prospect.
That is so off base. I mean, as a prospect, you know, Willis is undersized. He played at Liberty. When you talk about a guy like Will Levis, he has the same build as a Josh Allen. And he played in the SEC for a program that has, for the most part, the last 20 years been a bottom feeder in the SEC. Like, I would say in the past 20 years, Vanderbilt has had better seasons. And I know this is, you know, because of Stoops and how he's built that program up, that, you know, recency bias would tell you that Kentucky's a better program. But, you know, I would say in the last 20 years, encompassing everything, that even Vanderbilt has a better football program than Kentucky, arguably. And Kentucky had one of its best seasons in 2021 under Will Levis. The stars were aligned. They were a 10-plus win team. And that's when all that hype came out. And then you see him play in the SEC with a lot less talent and a whole new system on offense, and that coordinator's already out the door.
Liam Cohen's actually coming back.
Yeah, so he went to the Rams, and, you know, that wasn't a good fit either for the pro game. So he's going back to Kentucky and back with Mark Stoops. So I just think that, you know, a lot of people are looking at this year with Kentucky, and I don't think that they're talking about that. And he also battled injuries all year long this past season. So I have said this over and over again, and I'm going to continue to believe this. I think his floor is Carson Wentz. That, I mean, if that's the worst that you're going to be, that's not that bad.
Yeah, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Well, injured, but he didn't play on it. He got the ring. But, you know, he didn't play.
Shout out Nick Foles.
He would have won MVP if he didn't get hurt in week 13 of that season. But I digress. But the best that Will Levis could be with his arm talent, with his mobility, with his size, I mean, his potential is Josh Allen. Like, that's the kind of metrics we're talking about with this guy.
So a lot of polarizing opinions on the text line. A lot of people are saying, you know, kind of to summarize it, that, you know, do your homework, check out all of these quarterbacks, because if you believe that they could be a franchise guy, you do everything you can do to get him. And mm-hmm. I believe that's the take I kind of look at, right? You know, with Mike Vrabel going to these pro days, yeah, I mean, and the quarterback class was very, very different last year. There was Kenny Pickett was the one guy that people believed could start right out of college, the only one to go in the first round. But I don't know where Kenny Pickett would stack up against the guys in this draft. I think he would be closer to the bottom, not because of his performance, but because of a lot of the intangibles we talk about. Your physique, how big you are, how tall you are, your arm strength, things like that. Mike from Gallatin texts in. He has an interesting take. I like this one. I'd be down for it. If Levis has a Josh Allen-like arm strength, I'm all about it. The big problem is what I might see is that Rand Carthon might go with the safer pick. If you screw up a first impression, you can lose the fan base. Titans don't need another Mariota. If Rand Carthon is thinking about the fans' reaction to his picks, he's not doing his job. 100%. Rand Carthon, yes, I get it. The fan base, you are investing into this team. You support this team. But a GM should never be thinking about that, or they'll lose their – if they worry about that, they're not ready to be a GM.
No, you're 100% right. And, again, you know, Will Levis could move off the board in the top 10, and this discussion means absolutely nothing. But what it shows is that Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly, they're in Lexington right now to see what this kid is. And they're there for him because, listen – no one thinks that Ryan Tannehill is going to be here after next year. And if he is, it's only 2 years. I mean, he's in his upper 30s. He's not an elite quarterback that's going to play at 39 and 40. Like, he's just not. And they're going to move off of him soon. The plan to find his replacement is already in progress. You just don't know about it yet. You know, these GMs and these front office members, they're looking 5 years ahead, right? Mm-hmm. So the plan to try and find their next guy, whether it's finding a way to get one of these guys out of this class, you know, maybe structuring and waiting to seize their opportunity for next year with that quarterback class. And we've kind of gotten into discussions about that. Like, are they going to take this year and try and be competitive, or are they going to just kind of stay a little bit stagnant and really try and go get their guy and start their run over next year? But either way, the plan to move on from Tannehill is rolling. They know that the time is now to really start looking at quarterbacks to try and see who can take over the reins for the future.
I find it really interesting, too. And the more we're talking about it, because I just saw the picture this morning Matt Jones put out of Mike Vrabel there. You know, when you talk about Mike Vrabel going to an Ohio State pro day, I mean, their whole team is getting scouted to move on to the next level between linemen, between defensive backs, linebackers, wide receivers. Not only C.J. Stroud, but when you look at this Kentucky Pro Day, there's 11 guys competing in it. Jordan Wright was a linebacker, played for the team for a while. Maybe he'll go somewhere. I don't see him as a top pick.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel, Tim Kelly, they are there to see and evaluate Will Levis in person. Fans, how would you feel if the Tennessee Titans drafted Kentucky quarterback Will Levis at number 11? Mock drafts have him dropping a bit, dropping out of the top five, top six, have him dropping to almost 19th. How would you feel if they drafted him 11th overall and they started the movement to try to find their franchise quarterback? And do you believe he could be a franchise quarterback? We want your text. We want your call. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Do you want a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Three Doors Down at Ascend Amphitheater on August 18th? Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. today, but we are giving a pair away right now. All you got to do is be the third caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Good luck, everyone. Welcome back into Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle, Nick Keys are with us. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. If you want to watch us streaming, you can watch us live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our streaming is brought to you by Superbook. And this week's Nashville's Best Deal of the Week is Eastside Bowl in Madison. This week, get 2 hours of bowl plus shoe rentals for up to six people for just $45. That's a full 2 hours of bowling plus shoes for up to six people for just $45 at Eastside Bowl in Madison. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get yours now. Junie, discussing, wow, I thought this was for the Will Levis con. I realized we just did a ticket giveaway. I saw all the phones light up. Junie, we were discussing how fans would feel if the Tennessee Titans use their 11th overall pick to draft a quarterback, that quarterback being Will Levis. They got his picture up on Good Morning Football right now. They're going to be live streaming the Kentucky Pro Day at 1 p.m. Eastern, so noon local time. Mike Vrabel is in Lexington. Tim Kelly is in Lexington. There's a picture that surfaced. So how would fans feel? I mean, Will Levis had a disappointing year this year when you look at him. And as much as we can blame his receiver room, his offensive line, a change at offensive coordinator, when it got down to it, Will Levis made some dumb decisions when playing football.
Definitely.
Made some dumb decisions. But when you look at the year before, his first year at Kentucky, that is when you saw him start to develop into a pro prospect. And this year was, it was not great. Not great at all. I'll be the first one to say that. I watched every single game. It was grueling sometimes, some of the decisions he made out there. But he's still a high, high prospect in this draft. He still is a first-round quarterback. We have a lot of texts on the text line. Brian says he wouldn't touch Levis with a 10-foot pole. Was a turnover machine in college, only going to be worse in the NFL. Somebody else texts in and says, no, Will Levis is not it. From what I've seen from him in college, he never single-handedly won games, not even against Vandy. NFL quarterbacks can do that. He cannot do that.
I mean, I get it. He had some bad turnovers. And I think a lot of the fan base, especially down here, looks at the Tennessee game. And that's just the shot in time that they have of Will Levis. But from somebody who has watched Will Levis for the last 2 years, I can say I probably have seen about 50% of his games. And as a non-Kentucky fan, I mean, I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he has the metrics that it takes to be an NFL quarterback. Like, he has the arm talent. He has the athleticism. He has the accuracy. It's just more or less putting him into the right place in the right situation with the right coach. Because these turnovers and these, you know, decisions that he makes, that can be coached out of him. The way he throws the ball, his mechanics, his footwork, his ability to create and make plays. I would say that texture that says that he hadn't single-handedly, like, won a game. I mean, I watched him against Louisville single-handedly win a game. Like, he's done that. It's just because of the game that you watched on a certain Saturday of him, he didn't do so, doesn't mean that he doesn't have the ability to do it. And I think if he were to go to the right situation, he's not a quarterback that is a day-one starter. And I don't think anyone is sitting here saying that. But if you were to give him the Patrick Mahomes treatment, let him sit for a year. Tannehill's your starter this year. You know, you're playing on. You can move off Tannehill easily after the post June 1st cut this year. But even easier after this year, it would be a seamless transition, like a 1 year sitting, learning. You know,
developing.
That would do this guy a lot of good. He has the metrics. I just, like I said, I look at a guy like Bryce Young and I look at a guy like Anthony Richardson, and they have clear flaws that can't be coached out of. You know what I mean? But Will Levis, with his potential and talent that he has right now, you put him with a good coach, this guy will flourish in the NFL. I have no doubts about it.
So when I look at some of the moves that Rand Carthon has made so far this offseason, Junie, safe, frugal, short deals, not giving anybody a huge contract. And I kind of look right now of filling some holes, but not going out and doing anything crazy right now. So I'm taking a look at that. I'm putting my context clues together. And am I being a little bit of a detective or trying to? Because I want to know what the Tennessee Titans are going to do in the draft. Yes. And will I ever find out until draft day? Probably not.
No.
But I can speculate and I can and try to put these context clues together. I thought maybe this team would go out and try to trade for a big name wide receiver, like a Mike Evans. I brought him up multiple times on the show. I don't see that happening anymore based off the moves that have already been made. You know, with hearing the conversations of trying to get Kevin Byard to take a pay cut, with, you know, trying to work out a deal for Jeffrey Simmons, I'm really seeing, with even the rumors about shopping Derrick Henry at the combine or trying to figure out what his value may be in this league, I really do look at this team taking a turn and taking a step in the next era of Tennessee Titans football Rand Carthon.
They don't want to get stuck. You know, that's why they're doing these contracts. Not a lot of guaranteed money, not for a long period of time. They are basically giving a lot of these free agent signings a prove-it-to-me deal, meaning they come in, you get some guaranteed money on the front end of your contract, and then you have years after that where you're easily cuttable and you're removable. They're basically telling you that they're gearing up for another go at it. And that this is the time that they're looking for that new franchise quarterback. They're evaluating all these young prospects that are projected to go in the first round. They're doing their homework. They're doing their due diligence. Because if they do go out and draft a quarterback, whether it's this year or next year, they're going and getting these free agents for cheap and basically saying, if you're good enough to be here, we'll sign you to a long-term deal, but you have to prove it to us first. And that's exactly what they need to do. They don't need to be spending a lot of money. They need to keep their options open, because when the time comes that they do find that young quarterback, then they can say, okay, this guy's not working out. We need to go find, obviously, a better replacement. And then they can go make the big moves of making the big trade, getting your franchise quarterback, that wide receiver, or going out and getting that left tackle, or really beefing up the offensive line with some real names, whether it's from the draft or from the free agency pool. It doesn't matter. And it's almost pointless to go out and get a DeAndre Hopkins or a Mike Evans when you're unsure about the quarterback position. You know, it's like, why would you want to go and pay DeAndre Hopkins nearly $20 million at the age of 30 when you're like, I don't know if Ryan Tannehill is going to be our starter even this year. We don't know if he's going to be the starter in 2023. We've already talked about the numbers that it would take to cut him for post June 1st. We don't know what they're going to do. And I just think that they're trying to play it safe. They're trying to play it cheap so that when they do officially hit that reset button and move off of Tannehill and move off of Derrick Henry, that they have the wiggle room and the capability to make that jump and say, okay, we have the funds, we have the money, let's go get the players that we need to be successful and build around our young quarterback.
Well, and we mentioned it before, when Mike Vrabel goes to a pro day, when he went to Ohio State's pro day earlier this week, it's not just because C.J. Stroud was there. It's because there are a lot of pro prospects up there in Columbus. He also went to school there. Everybody knows that. Maybe he'll be the coach there someday. Joe Rexroth thinks. But there are, you know, there's every position. These Ohio State guys, right? It's like Georgia. It's like Alabama. They have multiple pro prospects every single year. But the difference of him going, they are going to evaluate Will Levis.
There's no doubt today. About it. There's no doubt why they're in Lexington. They are there to look at Will Levis. With all the hype around Anthony Richardson, Will Levis has been bumped to that fourth quarterback position just purely based off hype. You know, I personally think the Anthony Richardson stuff is bogus. And if you watched any amount of SEC football this year, I just don't see how you could possibly, you know, spend even a first-round pick on this guy. Like, I really don't understand it. Developmental guys don't go in the first round like this. I think if he gets drafted, he's Terrell Pryor 2.0. But with that being said, you know, the hype has kind of shown that Will Levis might potentially slip in this draft. And if he does, the Titans are showing that they're doing their homework in treating him as a serious possibility with their first-round pick.
So Zach Kiefer, who works for The Athletic, he covers the Indianapolis Colts. He just tweeted a picture, actually, from Pro Day. It said, "We'll get a chance to watch QB Will Levis up close in a bit. Not the same crowd at Ohio State we saw on Wednesday, but plenty of NFL personnel on hand." So the pictures are starting to come out. I'm sure we'll hear some chatterings from the Pro Day that's happening this afternoon. How do Titans fans feel if they draft Will Levis at 11? Or, Junie, I'll ask you this question quickly. Do you think it would be worth it to use your 11th overall pick in, if I'm saying if Will Levis is available there and you have the opportunity to either choose him or Hendon Hooker, and with the 11th overall pick, you choose to take a lineman and you're able to get Hendon Hooker with your second round pick?
That's really interesting.
Because Hendon Hooker, I don't think, I would be very, very surprised if he went late in the first round. I think he's a second-round pick.
I think he's a second- or third-round pick, just also with the ACL. Mm-hmm. I think if he hadn't gotten injured, he would have definitely went in the first round because, you know, teams would want that fifth-year option on him. But with the ACL, I don't necessarily know if teams would want to take that risk. But I personally would go with Will Levis. I like the upside. I like the risk. I think Hendon Hooker is a safer bet. I think he's more of like a guy that's going to be around the league for a while, being either a bridge quarterback or just a constant backup, because he's going to deliver. Like, he's going to be in the league for a long time. But with Will Levis, I would want to take that risk because he has those superstar traits that if you can get that out of him, that takes your franchise up and beyond. So for me, I would take Will Levis at 11 and get a lineman in the second round.
Judy and I are going to continue this discussion tomorrow. We'll be 9-11 tomorrow, and we're going to continue this quarterback conversation. But coming up next, we got to make some picks for the Sweet 16 games tonight. We got to talk a little college hoops. Coming up next, Junie and I will make our picks for the game, taking a look at the lines on Superbook Sports. Put a bow on things today on Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Gabe Nashville app. Final segment of the day on Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. We got Nick Kieser with us as well. Putting a bow on things today, switching back to some college basketball talk. You know, just a recap of last night. FAU takes down the Tennessee Volunteers. Also, Arkansas, another SEC team. UConn absolutely dominated them. Kansas State takes down Michigan State. We've got a couple more games today. Alabama and San Diego State. Got a good slate of games. We're going to see Princeton, Creighton, Miami, Creighton. I got to pull the games up. My head is all over the place. We're talking hockey. We're talking football free agency. We're talking college basketball. Junior, I can't.
It's hard to keep up. It's that time of year, off
season. Miami, Houston, Princeton, Creighton, Xavier, Texas. So very exciting. And then we'll have Elite Eight matchups starting tomorrow.
So I will say this, though. I picked four underdogs yesterday and went 3-1. So the underdogs went 4-0. Well, no. I'm sorry. The underdogs went 3-1 because Arkansas did not beat UConn.
Yeah, that was bad. UConn looks really, really good. And Arkansas,
I just don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I just don't know a lot about UConn, to be real with you. I haven't watched a single game. I saw them as a 4 seed this year. I was like, they're a 4 seed. UConn, they, you know, probably dominated, you know, the weak Big East. But
I mean, Xavier Creighton,
they've been playing great.
Xavier Creighton, UConn, Big East doing pretty well. Big East doing pretty well in the tournament. Well, Nick, it is that time. Gear it up.
Yeah, it is that time once again today. We made some picks yesterday. Let's make some more. So, Alabama versus San Diego State in the Aztecs. Alabama is a 7.5-point favorite on our Superbook. Who do we have?
So I'm taking a look at this game. Alabama has not been tested once so far in this tournament and wasn't truly tested in the SEC tournament just a couple weeks, just 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. I think they get tested tonight. I think Alabama comes out on top. I think San Diego State, though, rattles them a bit. I think this is a gritty, tough game. I think they cover that 7.5-point spread. So I'm going to take San Diego State plus the 7.5. But I do believe Alabama will be the team advancing to the Elite Eight, Jimmy.
I think this is the perfect line for this game. I love this line. But I'm going to go with Alabama.
Okay.
I think Alabama has like a 4 to 5-point lead and some free throws in the end. They're going to win by 8, Michelle. I'm telling you. Book it. Alabama by 8. They move on to the Elite Eight.
All right. Junie guarantees something.
Oh.
You guaranteed Conference USA some success yesterday, so hopefully we can see some more tonight. But next matchup, Miami versus Houston. The Cougars are a 7.5-point favorite as well.
I love this line, Junie.
Really?
I am taking Miami plus the 7.5. I'm liking the underdogs today. Houston, yes, one of the best teams in the country, but they have been tested this year. And this Miami team is looking very, very good. I know that they played in a weak ACC, but I actually think Miami wins outright in this game.
I like the Canes as well to potentially win out, but I'm going to take them on the points. I'd probably lean Houston money line, but this is the game of the day for me.
I think
is going to be
too.
The closest game of the night. Miami is tougher than what a lot of people give them credit for. Their guards are ridiculously athletic and move up in the floor faster than, I would say, maybe of any team left in the tournament. I think Miami has a really good shot at winning tonight. They definitely cover that 7.5. That is my guarantee. Miami covers.
Okay. Well, Junie has two guarantees now, so we have to just write these all down.
I'm not guaranteeing the Alabama, Nick. I think they win by 8, but I am guaranteeing Miami.
Okay, fair enough. Well, another team that's been a Cinderella story, Princeton versus Creighton tonight. And Creighton's actually a 10-point favorite. Man, but I love watching Princeton in this March Madness. I would take them personally. Who do you guys have?
I love it as well, and I might be going all underdogs. I like Princeton plus the 10 points. They've got good guard play in what matters in March, and how you win is March is you make those shots. As the clock is winding down, Junie, I think Princeton outright wins this game.
Really? That is very interesting because I would have said that I like Princeton on the cover if I was just going based off the first round, but what Creighton did to Baylor in the round of 32 really opened my eyes. I don't know. I have a feeling that Princeton's Cinderella story is going to run out. The clock is going to strike midnight. I think Creighton wins handfully. Give me the 10 points. I'm laying it down on Creighton.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the final game of tonight and of the Sweet 16 that we will go over, Xavier versus Texas. Texas is a 4-point favorite. I like Texas personally, but I think Xavier's going to give them a run for their money.
Nick, I agree with you. I like Texas in this matchup. I think they win by about 10.
What's the line again, Nick?
4.
4. Okay.
Texas favored by 4 over Creighton. I really like this one. I feel confident in Texas. I think they'll be the team that'll move on to the Elite Eight. So I'm going to take them to cover that 4-point spread.
I'm going to go with Texas, too. 4 points is not a lot. And I think that they're a much better team than Xavier. I think Xavier has barely scraped their way into the Sweet 16. I think Texas, a lot of people has them as a perennial Final Four team. I think they are a Final Four team. And I think they win this one by at least 7 or 8. At least. I can see, Michelle, too, that they could bust this one open. Give me the Longhorns.
Okay, well, that's all I got for you guys. What's funny is I'm watching ESPN on the TV in here, First Take, and Stephen A. was doing the same picks as we were. I'm not even joking.
Oh, really?
He's just trying to copy our swag, man.
Great minds think alike, but a lot of college basketball action tonight. We'll find out who else is competing in the Elite Eight. If you haven't watched Kansas State in this tournament, I'm adopting Kansas State because their point guard, Marquise Noel, has been the player of the tournament. Highlight reel stuff. 19 assists yesterday. I know he rolled his ankle. I hope that he's good to go
NCAA,
for tomorrow.
NCAA tournament record on those assists.
He has been the star, my favorite player to watch, throwing some highlight reel passes between the legs, behind the back, and then one pass where he's looking at his coach like he's asking him what play and just darts it over.
Throws that lob.
For Keontae Johnson dunk. Absolutely insane. If I can give you one piece of advice this weekend, it's watch Kansas State. Watch some basketball. Have a great weekend, Nashville. Junie and I will be back in action tomorrow, 9 to 11. We'll be discussing everything from college basketball, the Tennessee Titans, the Nashville Predators, Pecorine's statue tomorrow. Coming up next, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.